The text is from Genesis 9. We examine it under the theme, Rejoice in God's Deliverance. My friends, after Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan, ate of the forbidden tree and plunged God's perfect world into sin and death, God set them out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground. In the years that followed, evil and wickedness, corruption and violence were commonplace across the face of the earth. So much so that Genesis chapter 6 tells us that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Did you hear that? The thoughts, every intention of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Well, God's heart was grieved, broken, shattered. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. So God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, declared, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land. But all was not lost. A man named Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, and he walked with God. So Almighty God told Noah to build an ark, and he made a covenant with Noah. You shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, and keep them alive with you. God promises to deliver a faithful remnant. And the Bible tells us that Noah did everything God had commanded him to do. Of course, what happened next was a supernatural disaster. It was far beyond anyone's worst nightmares. Scripture says, and the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered by water. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life perished, died. Can you imagine the horror of the flood? Can we even begin to imagine what it must have been to ride out that storm in the ark like Noah's family did? I don't think we can imagine that. It was the unmitigated fury of the wrath of God against the sin of the world. Now, after the waters subsided, the Bible tells us that Noah and his family stepped out of the ark on dry ground, solid ground. But keep in mind, Noah's ark did not land back in the perfect Garden of Eden. It landed in the broken, sin-fallen world. That's right, sin remained. Troubles remain, problems remain, and with it all the fear and anxiety and panic and the like. Yes, the world remained a broken place, ravaged by the effects of sin and death. So, what fear? What terrible images? What pulse? Traumatic stress must have plagued Noah and his family after the flood. That's right, they went through severe trauma. No doubt now they had emotional responses to things like drops of rain or thunderstorms with lightning. They must have been very afraid. Oh no, here we go again. Yes, after the flood, no doubt, Noah and his family were on edge every time dark clouds entered the sky and there was thunder and lightning. And yet, God is a gracious and loving God. He brings deliverance. He brings comfort to his fearful people, to Noah and to you and me. In the case of Noah, God said, I establish my covenant with you and with every living creature. Now, before we talk about that covenant, we need to keep in mind what a covenant is, especially when it's a covenant that God makes. For when God makes a covenant with us, with human beings, it's always a one-sided promise. Okay? Keeping of the covenant all depends not on us, but on God alone. When God makes a covenant, he binds himself to his promises, and he promises to deliver on his covenant. And in this case with Noah, he says, never again. This is God's promise. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. So God gave Noah this covenant, this promise. But you know, whatever confidence Noah had in that was never complete. It was never perfect. Why? Because Noah was a sinner. And as a sinner, Noah was prone to doubting God's promises. Isn't that what we sinners do? God says, here's my promises. Trust in me. And when things are going great, we do. But then troubles develop. And we're filled with anxiety and worries and great fear. We begin to doubt God's promises. We wonder if God remembers us and cares about us. So it was for Noah. Well, God did something about that. You see, he gave a visible earthly sign to back up his invisible word and promise. Yeah. God said, I'm always going to deliver you. That was his promise. I'll never destroy the world with a worldwide flood again. That was his promise. Those were invisible words. And then God said, look, let me give you a visible sign, a visible guarantee of that. See that rainbow? He says, that rainbow is a sign of the covenant between me and you, that the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Now, Noah had reason for hope. You see, God had given him promises, and now he'd given him a visible sign. And so, when the thunderstorms came and the rains came and troubles entered Noah's life, he did not have to be overwhelmed by fear because he could look up and see the rainbow in the heaven and be reminded that God keeps his promises, that God delivers his people in the hour of their need, even as God delivered him and his family through the flood, that God will always take care of him.
whatever the trouble, whatever the trial, whatever the affliction of life. So Noah had reason for hope. And he had a reminder that God keeps his promise every time he looked at that visible symbol, that rainbow in the sky. Well, God's made a covenant with you. And the covenant is this. The flood of God's wrath against your sin will not destroy you. Rather, the flood of God's wrath will flow out against God's only Son, Jesus Christ. That's right. Jesus is our substitute. He entered our world to receive the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins. Jesus was stricken, he was smitten, and he was afflicted on the cross. The flood of God's wrath flowed out on him. And because it flowed out on him, we can know that our sins are forgiven. Our guilt is forgiven. Our shame is forgiven. We are rescued, delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's God's promise to you. That's God's covenant to you. And even as God gave Noah a rainbow as a sign of his covenant, God has given you signs of his covenant. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's right. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. In the water of holy baptism, God has perfectly accomplished what the flood of Noah only foreshadowed. In your baptism, the wrath of God was unleashed against your sin, and you perished. That's right. In baptism, we were buried with Christ in his death. But we were also raised with Christ in his resurrection. Absolutely. So through that flood of baptism, we received the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life in heaven. And so when the problems of life come upon you, when the uncertainties of life cause anxiety and worry, when the troubles of life get you down, God says, well, remember I'm a delivering God. You can see the rainbow and remember that. But he says, do this. Make the sign of the cross. Don't you remember what happened at your baptism? The pastor marked you on your forehead and your heart, the sign of the cross. Receive the sign of the cross. That's right. You were marked. And so when troubles enter your life, make the sign of the cross. Remember your baptism and remember God's promises he made to you in your baptism, that you are washed clean in the blood of Christ. You were buried with Christ in his death. You've been raised with Christ in his resurrection. You have a Savior who will never leave you or forsake you. You have a living Savior who has promised you an eternal home in heaven, not built by human hands. You have a Savior. So even as God delivered Noah in his hour of need, you have a Savior who will deliver you. And when troubles and trials and problems and pain enter your life, also run to the altar. Receive the Lord's Supper. Because Christ Jesus has joined his word of promise to the visible elements of, in this time, not water, but bread and wine. Yes, whenever we are overwhelmed by sin and afraid of death, we can race to the Lord's table. For here Jesus gives us his true body and his true blood, in with and under the bread and wine, for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and the promise of everlasting life. You see, The God that put the rainbow in the heaven is the same God who comes to you in with and under the bread and wine and shows you that even as he delivered Noah, he will deliver you. Through whatever troubles and trials and problems and pain you face, you have a delivering God. And you can remember that every time you worship here at Mount Moriah. You see, look up. What do you see? Now you have to use your imagination a little bit more than you do at Trinity. But I see an upside down ark. Yeah, an upside down ark. See, that's what the church is. It's the ark. Even as God delivered Noah and his family in the ark through the flood, God delivers you through the ark of his church, where Jesus Christ comes to you and gives you his holy word and his life-giving sacraments for the forgiveness of your sins, the strengthening of your faith, the promise of everlasting life. You can come here. Your life may be in the pits. You may have one problem after another, and you can come here and know once again that you have a delivering God, a God who has delivered you in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a God who has promised you the ultimate deliverance of the forgiveness of sins and an eternal home in heaven not built by human hands. So rejoice, people of God. Yours is a delivering God. Leave here today to rejoice in him and to walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that the God that delivered Noah will deliver you in Byron or Rochester or Casson or wherever your 2 feet hit the ground. Amen. And now may the